football on off the ball.
Harry Kane is an amazing footballer, isn't he?
He's some operator.
He's
probably not underrated anymore, I wouldn't say. I think people are finally realising how great he is. But Jesus, yeah.
He's in line for a Ballon d'Or, isn't he?
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The LOI Pod on Off the Ball. Catch live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off the Ball all season.
Hello, yes, you are very welcome to another edition of the LOI Pod here on Off the Ball. It is Stephen with you again this week. And before we carry on, here's a reminder of what happened last Friday night on Off the Ball.
I start to fear for them a little bit this season because it was so good for them last year. They were in a title race for a long period of time. They were thereabouts. They were sort of at the higher end. I think where they are now in seventh is probably between sort of seventh and fifth is their position, you feel, on paper. So, I think this will be a bit more of a challenging year for them. Yeah, it's probably flipped now that it's the defence have sorted itself out, and on paper that doesn't make loads of sense to me, but going forward they've got to get goals, and James Taylor has been a huge loss for them. They've brought him in from Drogheda, who they played tonight, but hasn't been fit and hasn't shot the lights out yet so far this season or back end of last year. So yeah, it's goals is glaringly obvious what will hold them back from winning this title.
It's Kavanagh who looks like he's going to be eyeing this one up. Kavanagh comes a trussy left boot. Oh, what a save. What a save indeed from Chirouza. He wouldn't have seen that to the last moment because Kavanagh had let fly. And it's a wonderful save.
Yeah, no, it's a brilliant, brilliant save by the goalkeeper. I tell you what, League of Ireland hadn't got a good run of top-class goalkeepers, but we certainly have now. Jaraska is right up there with the best of them.
And now comes the breakaway here. This could be dangerous. Dawson Devoy is open country in front of him. He cuts around towards the left-hand side. Devoy! It's a good block initially from Ajay, but the card will be coming out. There was a coming together of bodies off the ball. Tierney was just taken out of it as he desperately tried to come up and offer some support, and then lumps one towards the back post. Davis is there. Good touch by Davis. Comes around the corner, still in the chest, puts in the penalty area. What a save by Chirouza. See your bodies hacked, and I mean hacked away from under a scramble of bodies away. The closest we've come to any sort of movement in the penalty area in quite some time. Devoy now down by the outside, and there is a strange collision here, and this is a dangerous situation. Because it looked like Shane Farrell has just collapsed on the ground here. He was no one near him, and the referee and all sort of medics are tearing onto the pitch here as well.
Yeah, it finished 0-0 at Sullivan Lamb Park between Bohemians and Drogheda United. And what an entertaining weekend it was. But of course, as you heard at the end of the commentary with Jonathan Higgins and Vinnie Perth, a very worrying situation in that game at Sullivan Lamb Park. Poor old Shane Farrell went down. I was in the away stand myself, Vinnie Perth. You're there with Gareth McLean. Great to see you this week, lads. And I have to say, big, big credit to the referee, Paul Norton. Didn't waste any time, blew the whistle, got the medical staff on as quick as possible. I haven't heard any updates later in the week on Shane Farrell, but we're hoping he's doing okay. Obviously, sending him our best wishes.
Yeah. And yeah. I think, it was a very worrying moment in the game. But I said it on CoComs. Sometimes, and rightly so, we criticise referee. Paul Norton was exceptional. The way he managed the whole situation and the game, to be fair, the whole situation was absolutely top class, and he deserves huge credit for it, the way he managed everything. He was really calm and assured, but at the same time got the rights on and just managed the whole situation. From players were worried as well, and they just looked to him, and he was, you know, sometimes you need a leader when something gone down, and he was absolutely top class. And his performance in the game as well, in what was a huge scrap and a big, big battle, was brilliant as well. So I haven't seen a lot of Paul, as in he wasn't reffing when I was involved. So we've no good blood or bad blood. but I have to say he was absolutely outstanding on Friday night, and I think it's worth giving referees credit when they deserve it.
Yeah, big time. I've seen him in a couple of games this season. I'd echo what you say there, Vinny. He's been really, really good. Sorry, Gareth, you were going to say there as well?
No, I was just going to say on the referees, I mean, as you, as Vinny says, we're quick, especially me, to dislike them. I don't know what has gone on since the first series of games, but the referees are letting way more go. There was obviously a meeting or some sort of mandate sent out to referees, and the managers are in on this as well, because the players aren't reacting when the players don't give a free kick or let the game flow a little bit after a foul. So it's been unbelievable to watch it in the first series of games. The games are far, far, far more enjoyable when the referees let it go. Don't be giving silly fouls. Don't break the game up and let the game be about the players rather than the referees. So totally agree. Keep it going, refs.
Yeah, absolutely. We might touch on one of the big decisions that didn't go the way of St. Pat's last Monday. We won't dwell too much, though, as ever on this pod on refereeing decisions. You could be here all day debating them all. But just, and look, we won't go through all the individual results. It was a doubleheader of a weekend. Just a quick look at the table, though. St. Pat's still top on 20 points by goal difference, ahead of Bohemians, also on 20. Shamrock Rovers sneaking in there behind them, just a point behind on 19, with Dundalk flying at the moment. 17 points for Dundalk in fourth position. Galway just behind them on 14 points. You'll be delighted with Dundalk and Galway United, Vinny, because they went and got back-to-back wins across the weekend. That's where one of your constant gripes, why teams don't just go out and go for the two wins. Not a great weekend for Shelburne. They lost both of their matches across the weekend. The only team that did, drawing a defeat for Derry City, who are down in seventh position, 10 points. They're 9 off the top 3, 10 off the top. The same amount of points as Drogheda United, and Sligo Rovers on 5 points, just above Waterford at the bottom on 4 points. But we might see Waterford turning the corner. We'll come back to them in a moment. And we did mention there, or Vinny mentioned in his commentary there, about brilliant goalkeepers. There's one man in particular between the posts I want to talk to you about later on in the podcast. I should mention to everybody who as well who's listening to the pod, because listen, yeah, where else do you get as good content on the League of Ireland as you do on Off the Ball? We're covering it practically every day of the week. You've got the LOI pod, you've got LOI Late Night, that's going to be out, or it's going to be on X this Friday at 10 o'clock after all the games. Ben will be on that with Shane. And just to add to our League of Ireland content, one of our colleagues here, Ross Flanagan, has started up a new venture on Saturday mornings. Catch all the action, reaction and storylines from Friday night in one podcast. That's the LOI Wrap-Up, which you can find in your podcast feed on Go Loud for free every Saturday morning or wherever you get your podcasts. And as I said, that's presented by Ross Flanagan. So do keep an eye out for that one and get all of the action and the reaction from Friday night's games on that every Saturday morning. So best of luck to Ross with that one. Lads, our feature game this weekend, this Friday night, is St. Patrick's Athletic against Shamrock Rovers. I'll be down at Inchicore myself for that one. Just to start off maybe with the home team, St. Pat's, Vinny, did Dundalk show other clubs the way to stop St. Pat's from a tactical perspective last Monday?
No, I think what Dundalk done is probably a separate discussion, Steve, but we'll come to that maybe later on. Yeah. I think what they done was like Bobby Barnes, Eric Devrin, that sort of running power they had in midfield, and Shane Tracy, the three of them, showed real aggression. I just thought people might see this as a little cheap shot at Pats or whatever, but people would say Pats have a soft belly, okay? And have they got the guts for a fight and to go and win a league title? Because over the last couple of years, they've fallen short in certain games. And Monday night was a prime example of that. Now, I think they've got real quality. I think they have what it takes to get into the title race. But you should have went up, if you're going to win a league title, go up Monday night and be stronger than Dundalk. In terms of Dundalk, were weakened a little bit. Young O'Keefe done well. Warren done well. Spaggett looks a hell of a good player as well. They were young and a lot of changes. Pats weren't at it. And as much as you put that down to Dundalk and their tenacity and their sort of aggression, Pats have to be better than what they were on Monday night. That was a really below par performance from them, and lacked a little bit of fight and spirit and a little hunger. So that's probably what disappoints Stephen the most. Did a couple of early chances, possibly should have been a red card to go the way, and maybe their small moments, but you couldn't deny Dundalk were. Like, I watched this game on, this is the first night, by the way, something a little bit separate, Steve, but first night in a long, long time I wasn't at a game. And I decided to sit in. I didn't want to go up to Oriel Park, and I wanted to see that game.
Didn't want
and
to leave
I watched
your Easter
that
eggs.
On LOI TV, and it's like, yeah, as you can tell by me cheeks there, I've had quite a few of them. But on a serious note, I ate a good few eggs. Now, but serious note, Steve-O, the LOI TV service is excellent. Mm. You know, it really is. And I was flicking between games. If I'd won compete, and or sort of one thing I'd love to see is like a multi-screen, and maybe I don't know how to use it as well, but it's well worth the money invested in it. I've bought it 2 years in a row, and this time I've properly used it, as in live, and it's an outstanding service for people who follow the league. And I think the money goes back into the league as well. Well worth it. But what was intriguing for me was, remember, we're talking about 10 years ago now, we went to AZ Alkmaar, and one of the most historic goals of all time was Kieran Cadoof for Stephen Kenny. And part of that run is why Stephen went on to manage the international team because of the success around Europe. So it was fascinating to see the battle between the two of them, you know, and Killer scored, came off the bench and scored that brilliant goal in Alkmaar. It's the first time an Irish team ever picked up a point in the Europa League. And it was a really good battle. It was like, but Duff deserves huge credit for the way he set up this team. They aren't star-studded. We spoke about the spine, but what they are is they've got a hunger, got a little bit of desire about them. And the biggest compliment I can give Kilduff is, from watching them now a good bit, is they don't overcomplicate. And that's not being disrespectful. No inverted fullbacks, no people playing on the wrong positions, any of that nonsense. It's just straightforward, get in after people, do your jobs right. And they've done a job on Pat's, and Pat's were lackluster, and therefore I'd be worried for Pat's if they really want to win it this year. I'd be worried by that performance on Monday night.
Yeah, listen, we will come back to Dundalk because there's a couple of things I want to touch on with them, just on Pat's, and actually just because you touched on it, and we won't spend too long on this, I just want your quick views on this. That tackle on Keane Levy by A. Dervin seems to have divided a lot of people. Some people saying, look, it was a cynical foul, but, you know, it wasn't serious enough for a red card. I've seen that video on social media from the Pats away end. I was kind of still going, well, you could get away with a yellow for that, but listen, you probably would be pushing towards a red card. What do you think, Gareth? You're completely neutral on that one.
Listen, as an attacker, it's almost an orange one. It's between a red and a yellow. The one thing I will say is, the linesman had a perfect view of it, so he should have made the call whether he thought it was a yellow card or a red card. I don't know if he got involved. I don't know whether he gave the referee a little nod on what it should be, but it's a hard tackle. Air Dervin, we know he's like that. He plays on the edge. He's always in between, like, either getting sent off or getting a second yellow or a yellow. So you expect it from him, but it was a tough, tough tackle. But again, you just got to give the ref a benefit of the doubt because he's seen it live. He's seen it in the moment. He made the call. You go with him.
Yeah, Keane Levy went off towards the end of the second half there. They've lost Rommel Palmer as well. Like, is the Palmer injury one specifically, Vinny? Is that one that could derail this bright start? He does seem to be the fulcrum of everything that's so good for St. Pat's of late, as well as, you know, I suppose James Brown as well coming off the right-hand side.
Yeah, I think that's a concerning one in terms of, looks like a calf injury. But for Pat's point of view, they brought on Lennon and Forrester. Both of them can do the similar role. But Palmer has been very, very good for him. But it looked a nasty injury. I think Aidan Keane as well got injured as well. So that's a bit of a blow for them. They've had a lot of injuries. And the Keane-Levy one, look, is what it is. Gareth's right. I didn't feel it was a straight red watching it, but again, I was watching it on TV. So watch this space. Air Dervin will probably get sent off over next for another tackle. Referees have probably marked that and feel they possibly got that one wrong. But for But going back to Pats, I mean, they've got huge strength and depth. So that's what the spending power they have had has given them. Like Parma came off the bench, Edmondson came off, Jamie Lennon, Glory came off the bench, and so did Chris Forrester. So they're not struggling. They're not struggling. And you've got other players there, Tom Grabowski. They've got a bit of strength and depth, and that's part of being involved in the league. You will always get injuries. So I just hope that, from Pat's point of view, that was such a poor performance on Monday, it doesn't derail them. And in a strange way, Rovers on Friday is probably a great fixture for them to bounce back into, because you're right up for it. The manager doesn't need to do a lot in terms of motivation, or the players are lower to Rovers coming to their patch. So it might be the right fixture for them in a strange way.
Gareth, from a defensive point of view for the Saints, I was a little bit concerned with the Tyreek Wilson goal. It was one of those you could see Shamrock Rovers producing a similar move, you know, the back four getting dragged one way. Everyone's a little bit out of position. Wilson comes flying in, has a shot. I know we got a bit of luck with the deflection, but is that something Stephen Kenny and his coaches will be looking at for ahead of the Rovers game, just to maybe tighten up on situations like that?
Yeah, I mean, that's what Rovers do. They just pull you all over the place with that box midfield, and they've got players to do that as well. Listen, Stephen will obviously have a plan for Rovers. The last time they played Rovers last year, I thought they played quite well. So I think he's comfortable managing that box midfield. He obviously likes to play the box midfield. He drops Keenan. I know Keenan's injured, but he drops one into the middle. He did the same against Derry when they played up there. And they looked defensively really, really strong against Derry. Derry didn't really have a chance. They had one breakaway. They've obviously conceded two down in Dundalk. I thought Aruby was brilliant. He really unsettled him. So McGovern is a similar type of player. He's big. He's physical. He's very, very, very direct. So I think they're going to get a similar type of player on Friday night if he plays. So I thought Hoare was good. I thought Hoare and Redmond, as good as Aruby was, they managed it, because I don't think we're giving Dundalk enough credit for how high they're pressing, how much pressure they're putting on the opposition. And I thought St. Pat's did okay with it. I don't think Rovers will have the same type of pressure. It'll be more controlled. It'll be more possession-based. It'll be more build-up play, trying to pull them out of position. And then will Nugent and Lennon play in there? Or will it be Bagley? Now with Palmer out as well. So I think you'll see them go a little bit more defensively. It wouldn't surprise me if Nugent and Lennon started in that midfield just to take care of the two tens out of Rovers. But no, I wouldn't be overly worried if it was Stephen Kenny on the defensive side.
I know what they've done, Steve, as well recently. They've won the games you should win. I know this game, Shell's in poor form, but the next few weeks is big test for them coming up. When you look at the play Rovers, okay, then they're away to draw the. Then they play home, and then they're away to Galway and away to Sligo. So they're big tests for them. And this league does that to you in terms of, well, if you've Galway home, Drogheda at home, and Sligo at home, you know, Pats would fancy himself. So they're on the road for a couple of the two games at home against Bowles and Rovers, and away that are the winnables as such, but they're away. Drogheda will be difficult. Galway in really good form, and Sligo away is always a difficult venue. So the next 4 or 5 weeks between now and the 4th of May, we're going to find out a lot about this Pat side. Have they got a soft belly that some people suggest? I think so. I think they've turned the corner. We're going to find out.
And I think, Steve, the one thing that Stephen, off the back of last year, defensively, they were very, very good last year. Like this year, they've already got 18 goals. It's only them and Dundalk with 18 goals. Like that's the thing that he had to fix. And I think he's fixed it, and he's got ample options up front. Obviously, Keane's out now, and Palmer, which is a bit of a knock, but Forrester's coming back. You've got Mata, you've got Edmondson scoring goals. So I think he'd be looking forward to the next 4 or 5 games without being overly confident.
Yeah, she's even got Breslin and Nugent chipping in with goals there Friday night, which was, I'm sure something that Stephen Kenny would be delighted with. And just on Nugent, Gary, because you were talking about you're not too sure about the midfield. Like, surely you play Nugent against Shamrock Rovers. He's got a point to prove against his old club.
Oh, he's been brilliant. He was brilliant. I saw him up in Richmond Park a couple of weeks ago. Really, really good. I just think he's got a bit of everything. He's not outstanding at one thing, but he's really good at everything. He's got a pass. And you know what I like about him as well? He not only runs it back and gives it simple. If the forward passes on, which obviously at the majority of the time, the attacking players and the better players in front of him, he just gives it to them. And when they play that three at the back, he's very good at playing it out to either a centre half, the left or right, rather than putting either, if it's Hoare in the middle, putting them under pressure. And then, of course, on the ball, he's quite comfortable. But his breaking up of the play and putting fires out is really good. I thought Lennon in the first match of the season against Bowes at the Aviva, I thought he was outstanding during that game. Really, really good. Unfortunate, obviously, to get injured, but that's what they didn't have last year, Pats. When Lennon got injured, they didn't have a natural replacement. They've got that now in Nugent. And I wouldn't be surprised not to see the both of them playing, both Lennon and Nugent. I mean, that would really shore up the defence with the three and then the two in the middle. That's five. That then really gives the wing-backs the option to go with a lot more freedom. So I don't know whether we'll see it now on Friday night against Rovers, but Nugent's been excellent. He'll be, as you say, licking his lips to get at Rovers.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing about Nugent. He's not as good as his dad. You wouldn't remember Martin Nugent, a really good player. Bray had a season at Pats, but I think Kerza had him at Pats. But
yeah,
I joke, of course, he's and his dad. But Martin Nugent was a hell of a good player. I remember him back in the day. I think it would have been late 80s, early 90s, in part to some really successful Bray teams with Devo. But I think he won the FAI Cup in the year he won it. What was it? 87, but really good footballer as well. So he's from good stock.
Just on Rovers, then, I wonder will Stephen Bradley be a little bit annoyed that they only got 4 points at the weekend, like going down to Waterford, drawing 1-1, team that's really on the ropes? You kind of feel now, I know he made a lot of changes. I wonder, did he maybe make too many changes for that game? Obviously, then puts out a strong team against Shells. Like, Vinny, what's your general view of Shamrock Rovers? I know Stephen Bradley was saying after the Shells game that he wanted a more controlled performance from his team. So what's he angling at there?
I think he'd like to dominate the ball a little bit more and the way they do. And but look, I think Rovers are not as good as they have been, but they're still far and away above everyone else. I don't think anyone else has the ability to go to them this season. Like, you've got Jack Bourne back in decent form. They've got so many options, like, in terms of, you know, Cleary's out and they're able to play Sobowale. That's they've Corey O'Sullivan can play for Lopez. When he goes away, you know, different options. The ability to change Friday and Monday is huge. There is times you wonder, has he done it too much? But I don't think so. When you think of Danny Grant coming in the team, everybody that's come on has made a difference. Rovers are exceptional. They've got exceptional players. The reason I don't think they're as good as they once were is because there's so many young players who will just take a little bit of time to reach the levels of some of the stars. So Corey O'Sullivan's well on his way to replace in Lee Grace. Just not there yet, but he's not far off it. That's just one example. So they're littered with, you know, Noonan is maybe not as good a striker as he had before, going back, whether it's Johnny Kenny or the brilliance of Gaffney, but he's well on his way to doing them things. So if ever there was a time to beat Rob, probably last season and this season, I just don't think anyone else can do it. And therefore, I think they'll win the league comfortably. And
comfortably, Vinny. Comfortably. How many points are you saying they'll win it by?
Oh, I think if they wanted it, depending on Europe, if they needed to win. I think, put you this way, if we took 9 off Rovers and deducted them start of the season, they'd win the league by 9 more or points or more. So,
that's a
You think they'll win it by 9 points or more?
Yes, if they have to. But the difference is, they in around Europe and stuff like that, they can make changes and prioritise a couple of European games, therefore they may not drop points. If Rovers were deducted 9 points at the start of the season, they would win the league if they have to. That's how far they have.
That'd be winning it by 10. basically.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, 100%. They're that good and that far ahead of everybody else. I mean,
can I throw it to Mr. McLean there, please?
Listen, it's easy to say that now, but look how badly at the beginning of the season, I would never have seen that. I mean, look at the many players that Stephen Bradley, you got to give him credit to this, has bled through, the young players. That team is full of youngsters and new players. And it's not the fact that Rovers are so good. It's because everybody else has been so, so, so bad. That's why Vinny can say that now after the first series. But
can I just roll back on the two of you there? Hang on. I wouldn't even say that everybody else has been so bad. I would say it's more a case of everybody else being so inconsistent, Gareth.
Why are they inconsistent?
Sorry, go on, Gareth. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's just part of being bad. I mean, being consistent, Vinny's pointed on that. That's what Pats have been really good at in the last six games. They've been really good at beating the bad teams. I mean, I was there when they played there. They just wanted a draw. They just wanted to continue the momentum of going to the next game and being able to win it. That's what they've been good at. But Shamrock Rovers have been just chugging along, and they haven't been unbelievable. I mean, Shells gave them three goals the other night. That's down to Shells. Obviously, Rovers had to finish them, but Shells could have easily won that game or got a draw to that game. But Shells gave them three goals, so they've been given a lot at the minute, and you do create your own luck by the players coming through. But at the beginning of the year, I would never have said that Shamrock Rovers are going to win the league by 10 points. Definitely not.
Our team, are teams then, are they showing Rovers too much respect, or is there a fear there? Is there an innate fear with teams that go and play them? Like, Vinny, I remember you talking about complimenting Bohemians last season playing Rovers. You're saying that when they went to Damien Park, they got in their faces, they pressed them up really high, didn't show them any respect. Is that why other teams, and you know, is that why teams aren't getting results against them, because they don't approach the games with Rovers that way?
No, I think that's my point. So contradicting myself in one sense, right? What I mean is, I think Rovers are vulnerable. Like, I can only tell you what I see. When I see Rovers, say, of 2021-2, when you've got Pete Jackbourne, Graham Bourke, Gaffney on that left channel, Aaron McInnes running power midfield, wrong as your wing back playing higher than everybody else, the back three were absolutely outstanding, clearly. Lopez and Grace at their very best. You adding in different bits and people. They brought Ferrugia in at different stages. Do you know young players have potential to be like that, but they're not there, right? So when teams like Rovers go and do what, or Bowles go and do to Rovers, what you just said, spoke about, that is a blueprint for beating. So they can be vulnerable at different stages, but What's Ball's form over the last 4 weeks, Steve-o?
Yeah, sorry. And listen, we'll come back to it. Sorry, I didn't mean to specifically pick out Ball. I'm just talking about a general sense. I'm talking about the league.
In general sense, the point is, I think certain teams can cause the problems on certain days because of, I don't want to pick out Corey Sullivan, outstanding young player, but Corey Sullivan is not beat Grace yet. He may even turn out to be better than him. Just one example. Noonan is not Pete Gaffney, but he may be one day better than him. I hope both of them are, and I think they're well on their way to do that. So I'm saying they're vulnerable against somebody coming up and having their A game the way Bowles did. The reason why I brought up Bowles, we'll move on. The reason why there isn't an... Garrett said about teams are bad. I what he means is... They're not of a level. There isn't two outstanding teams in the league. There's one, Rovers, who are a little bit, and there's no one else outstanding yet. Bowles and Pats are potentially outstanding, but what they've shown already this season and majority last season is a huge amount of consistency for what it takes to win the titles. As in, Friday, Pats done really well. If you want to win a league title, you should underdog and you win. You win. By hook or by crook, you win. You don't get run all over by a team. And that's what happened. And that's what will hold them back over a season. And ultimately, that's why they'll fall short, in my view. And that's why Rovers are at the very best. Will be dominant against everybody. So it sounds like I'm contradicting myself saying Rovers are a little bit vulnerable. But it's because of the teams aren't putting it up to them enough. And you're right, the what I said about Boas. That was one of the most complete performances I've seen from anybody against Shamrock Rovers in a number of years. But
yeah, I'm just, I suppose just, I'm just trying to get to the nub of the point here, and that you know, you're talking about other teams. You know, I'm just trying to find out, is it teams that are showing them too much respect, or is that teams aren't, you know, are they playing against Rovers with a fear, and that's why they'll always let Rovers in? That's what I'm trying to figure out. The other thing that kind of struck me about Stephen Bradley's post-match, Gareth, after the Shells game, he also mentioned about his team, that they're evolving this season, but they're evolving in the heat of battle, so that he is having to change his team from last year. And as you already mentioned, Gareth, there's so many young players in that team, but they're evolving in the heat of battle. Like, that's very dispiriting for the other teams in the league, is that, you know, that he's performing this transition while they're playing matches and they're still just, you know, a point behind the two top teams in the league.
Well, put it this way, and Vinny will see this. You look at the team that played Shells at the weekend. You've got Subo Ollie right of a three at the back. You've got Jake Mulroney in front of that, and you've got Usain Vuna on the right of a three midfield. I mean, that is all fairly new and fairly... Yes, Jake Mulroney's got a lot of experience. Young Victor is very young. Subo Ollie, it's the first time we've seen him in that position. He's a good player, but he's only bedding in the Shamrock Rovers. But for him to be able to bed them in and get those players playing consistently at that level, and for Shells not to be able to exploit that, that's not down to Shamrock Rovers. It's down to the teams, the Shells, to be able to exploit that. And then they go and play with Coote and Jarvis up front, trying to dominate the ball and trying to dominate the midfield. And they obviously went one in front. So it's an unbelievable compliment to Stephen Bradley for him to be able to do this during the heat of battle. And he's 100% right. There's a load of players in there finding their feet, but they're only a point off. They've got 19 points. I mean, to be a point off while you're doing all of this at the beginning of the year, when traditionally they always have a slow start, as Vinny says, what are they not going to be like in the middle of the season whenever they've got all these players playing really comfortably in the formation and in the way Rovers play? So, I mean, as I said, I didn't think they were overly impressive against Shells. I think Shells gave them three goals, so they're getting the rub of the green at the minute. So are they going to continue this way, or are they going to get better throughout the season? It looks as if they're going to get better throughout the season.
Just to tell you, you mentioned Subo Ollie as well, because I wanted to mention him individually, because, and to be fair, he has played that right centre back in a couple of previous matches. And if you even look back to his time, I think it might have been at Swindon he played as a right centre half as well. Is that somewhere you can see him staying, Vinny, for the rest of the season? Is he capable of that particular role?
Yeah, in a strange way, it's probably his best position for Rovers, and let me explain that tactically. I think when he plays as the right wing back, which he will do at different stages, he's someone who is a, for want of a better word, natural right back, and he wants everything in front of him. He wants the ball put in front of him and break a pace. And you often hear people talk about the radar from fullback, the overlapping fullback, and you just get the sense that's his best position. When you play for Shamrock Rovers at a wing back, touched on earlier on, sometimes you can end up as the centre forward for them in terms of the different form and the heavily weight that left hand side with Bourke and whoever the left wing back is in a little triangle at different stages. So the opposite side of the pitch is to give you real depth in your play. So Subo Ollie has ended up in centre forward position a couple of times. If you remember, Steve-O, I think it was in the Dundalk game, and it didn't really necessarily suit him because he's just with his back to goal or side on, and that was one of the things that hamstrung Sean Gannon when he was at Rovers. It wasn't his natural game up there, right? So when he played the right of a back three and they're the dominant team, then he becomes almost like, and this is the beauty of a back three, almost like an extra fullback or extra right sided fullback coming out. And we've seen Cleary do it for a long time, crossing the ball in or getting into that forward area, but to do it with a natural right back, Subo Ollie can defend as well. He is a match made in heaven for that right of a three. Now, Dan Cleary will put his hand up and go, hey, yeah, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not retired yet. So it's a brilliant. But I think Subo Ollie as the right of a three is his perfect position. And with Dan's injury, I don't know whether it's long term or not. I was there the night it happened. But I obviously don't know. But that'll be the interesting one. But they've got now, that's like, that's what I'm saying. He's finding his form at the moment, so Boali. He's finding where Lopez wants him to stand defensively, where the manager wants him on the attack, which different little space.
Yeah, so I suppose, Vinny, as well, that relationship with the winger is very important because he can create those overloads as well. You get two men maybe up against one defender, then you're causing them all sorts of problems. I've picked up on even Rovers fans on social media praising Sabali for his performances. So it'll be interesting to see how that develops as the season goes on. So look, we'll be at Inchicore off the ball, St. Patrick's Athletic versus Shamrock Rovers, live and exclusive this Friday night. Myself and Richie Tell on commentary duty. And Richie Tell, of course, formerly of Dundalk, like yourself, Vinny, they will be playing Derry City on Friday night. This is a huge game, I think. It's a massive, massive game. Dundalk looking to make it 6 matches unbeaten. First, I want to know, before we go into the team in general, Arubi up front for Dundalk. I think everybody can see he's been sensational. And I think as well, Vinny, he kind of epitomises this Lily White's team. He's brave. He attacks so well, he attacks with pace, and he's really physical as well. He's everything that this Dundalk team is all about.
Yeah, and I thought the two centre-halves of Pats and Ogard, they're good players, Hoare and Redmond, but he gave them an awful time. I'd say the two of them went home just sick of looking at him. And it wasn't all necessarily good hold-up play. Back to, you know, feeling them behind you, any of that stuff. It was, and that's what I love about what he's doing with his team. It was down the sides. It was sometimes making those darting runs without getting the ball, or making Redmond clear under a little bit of pressure. The little on your shoulder just as he's clearing it. All those little moments. But then he showed real quality as well. Particularly, he's another one that likes to on that left hand side, and he's cutting in onto the right foot. He operated with ball at his feet really smartly as well. And he's a real find, for want of a better word, for Kilduff in terms of Premier Division level. So far, and it's early, we're only 10 games in. So far, he's as good as any centre forward in the league on current form. He's been one of the catalysts for what they do. He's aided and abetted brilliantly by some of the stuff Horgan and Kenny are doing either side of him. Don't get me wrong, and that's a real help. And also the physicality they have in the central midfield. But he's been excellent as centre halves. You know he'd be on the top 3 or 4 list of centre halves who they don't want to face week in, week out. So long may it continue. He started the season really well.
Yeah, he's got 3 goals in 10 matches, 12 last season and 28 First Division games, helping them get promoted. And previously at Waterford and Shelburne. So he's obviously, Kieran Kilduff is doing some great coaching with him there. And I tell you, he's going to give Derry City some problems this Friday night. Another man that's impressed me, Gareth, I mean, his performance maybe going on a little bit under the radar for Dundalk, is Enda Minogue. We all know what happened a few weeks ago, sadly. Poor old Conor Kearns took that really bad injury, had to go off. And listen, if he is listening out there, we hope his recovery is going really well. But Enda Minogue pulled off some great saves, I saw in the highlights against St. Pat's on Monday. And he certainly has, I suppose, when you're in his position, your manager signs another player to come in and take your position. Be very easy to kind of sulk in a corner and, you know, but he's come back in. He's looking really motivated and looking like he's got a point to prove.
Yeah, brilliant. And these things happen for a reason. He's obviously prepared himself well, that when this opportunity comes around, that he's going to be ready. I know he played well against Pats, but he's made some really good saves in the previous games as well. And almost points, but saves that have actually contributed to points as well. So he's playing well. It's not easy. Listen, the defenders have done well as well. I mean, the whole team as a unit are unbelievable at defending as a unit, whether it's high up the pitch, whether it's defending at the edge of the box. But when you've good defenders in front of you, they're communicating with you, that will help them a lot. But it's not easy. And everybody thought, whenever that happened to Conor Cairns, that everyone's saying, right, they're going to go out and get a new goalkeeper. Kind of like what happened to Derry. They obviously got an injury, went out, got young the young Shea, put him in nets, couple of games, went out and got somebody else, Beach, and put him straight in there. Mm. But In fairness to Kieran, he's just giving him confidence. And he's saying, away you go. Prove to me that you can play at this level. Prove to me you've got what it takes. And he obviously sees it as well. And the other players see it in training. It's like whenever you're playing in training and one of your best players gets injured, you're looking around you going, who's going to step up here? And you can easily turn around without even the manager saying it and going, no, it's okay, because in training, he's been absolutely exceptional. We've got the confidence that the manager's going to pick him, he's going to put him in there, and he's going to do exactly what he's doing in training. And that's obviously what's happening. So long may it continue. And obviously it helps when they're winning as well. There will be a lot more of a bit of a lot more scrutiny had they been getting beat or conceding loads of goals. And it mightn't even been his fault. But as you know, the buck might lay at him. But so as long as they're keeping winning, keeping clean sheets, he's doing a great job.
Yeah, I think it's even more impressive anyway when you think, I was looking through Kilduff's teams in his last five matches of that unbeaten run. So they've won four and drawn one in that run. Let me just check that. I have it written down here. Yeah, won four and drawn one in the last five. And in that run, he's picked a different back four in all of those matches. So it defies logic, doesn't it? You think that you need a settled back four to defend well, and you've got a young keeper in there as well who maybe took a bit of a confidence knock when he was dropped at the start of the season, but it's all going so well. I think it kind of probably points to Kieran Kilduff not just being a good manager and coach, but like he's a good man manager. He must be really good at getting players confident and feeling good about themselves.
Yeah, and I would say the dressing room is buzzing, the training ground is buzzing all week. I'd say there's a great atmosphere there. And a lot of them are young players. The one thing you probably gone under the radar is the development of young players through the Dundalk Academy system over the last couple of years has really sort of bared fruit, to be fair. And it's not something that was heavily invested in over the time I was there. I'll put my hands up and say that, but whatever's going on with the underage setup, I know Shane Grimes is heavily involved now. Remember Shane, right left back, would have been involved, was at different stages, but whoever's doing or managing that side, they're certainly bringing young players through. You think Owen Kenny came through that system as well, people forget that, but he certainly did. But I remember giving my debut to Moyo, I thought, hell of a good centre half. I can never, even though I managed them and signed them, I still can't pronounce the second name, I'm afraid. But he came off the bench with a young centre half. I know when Stevie was there, he sent him up on loan to the Northern League, but he came off the bench the other day and Pat's put a bit of pressure on, lots of box and just smashing headers away. He's done really well for them. They you know, O'Keefe doesn't like an actual centre half, and he's there, man marshing on the, you know, you think of the quality Pats have, and he's there reading the game brilliantly. So, yeah, been exceptional. There's obviously good team spirit about them.
Yes. Steve, as well, on Minogue as well, it helps that Peter Cherry's there as well. I mean, Cherry's got to take a bit of credit for how comfortable Minogue looks as well. I mean, there's a load of whole other psychological part to giving him confidence that Peter Cherry would be giving them and talking him through games and giving him pieces of advice. So that'll help him a lot.
Yeah, he should be so lucky. More bad gags on 90 Singers coming your way later in the podcast.
Yeah, I actually got that one.
Lads, Derry City, listen, we gotta go here, Gareth. Never forget.
Let's go, man.
Well, I'm just thinking, right, if Dundalk go full throttle here, as we've seen in their previous run of games, if they go full throttle in this match, how bad could this get for Derry City?
Well, Steve, the thing about Derry, right, and I've been saying this all along, and even towards the end of last year, they're set up quite defensively as a team. If you look at it, six defenders and two sitting midfielders against Sligo away. Now, you got away with it last year when they beat Sligo down there, and it was a Michael Duffy free kick that went down at the back stick. It was a free kick cross down and it went down. So I don't think Derry will ever get battered 4 or 5-0. But they struggle to score goals, and we saw that against Sligo and against Galway as well. But let me tell you something now, the hunger that Dundalk showed in the Brandywell in this match earlier in the season, if they bring that, it'll be very difficult for Derry really get anything from this. And we've seen it against Pats, Rovers. Dundalk have done the same thing to all of them. Like, it's no secret that Dundalk are going to come up with this magical way of playing. It's just, as Vinny said, it's straightforward, it's aggressive, it's everybody knows their jobs, and it's kind of a wee bit the opposite to Derry at the moment. Derry are low in confidence. It looks as if they're very disjointed. Players are playing out of position. Ben Doherty again playing in a 10 when he's a left wing back, or I know he's played there before in the Irish League, but it just looks very disjointed. And we saw that against Sligo on Monday night. But it's an interesting game. Trust me, it's getting the pressure's just mounting as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it really says a lot about what the situation that they're in when you're saying something like, you know, if Dundalk come with the hunger that they showed in the game at the Brandywell, it could be very difficult for Derry City. Look, Dundalk have just come up from the First Division. Derry City, for a lot of people, are being tipped as title winners at the start of the season. So it says an awful lot about the situation Derry City are in. And before I get Vinny's views here, just on Tiernan Lynch, 2 clean sheets in the last 4. So, there's some positive there, Gareth, despite the fact that they haven't won a match in 6 games.
Yeah, and I think he's just gone back to basics. We saw that with the team selection. He just wanted to go and try and get a point and maybe try and nick it against Sligo. But that's the way he sets up. It's 3-5, it's 3-4-2-1 or 3-5-2. I mean, I don't see that as a major positive. The problem with Tiernan, and last year was the same, although they did really well, is scoring goals and creating chances from open play. It's just not there. I just don't see the connections. I don't see the fluidity in the team. They're not playing well. They're not playing with confidence. They're not creating chances. They were very lucky that Gareth McElroy's header didn't go the other side of the post, and they lost the game the other day. Obviously, Winchester hits the post early on as well in the first half. But they're struggling. Confidence-wise, they're struggling. You can hear it as well in Tiernan's interviews. He's struggling. He's not putting any sort of context in any question that he's answering. And that, to me, always gives a feeling of, I'm just not quite sure here. I'm not willing to open myself up to any sort of criticism. It's the same stuff all the time, and he's trying and working hard in the background to get to make it work. But right now, it ain't working.
And he told
the media, where did Ben Doherty play, Gareth, the other day? Like, they seem to have, and this is part of the problem, like the Fleming on the pitch, the Barry Cotter on the pitch. It feels like, I know Ben can play a little bit higher, he can also do Michael's role if needed, obviously not as well. Was that just him doing Michael Duffy's role, Doherty?
I wouldn't say, yeah. Well, he was playing there along with Clark, so him and Clark were in the tens, and then Debo was up in front. Ben's played there before for Larne and Coleraine and stuff, but it's not his natural position, you know what I mean? And that's what I keep saying to you. I mean, he's got natural players on the bench that can play in that position. You've got Markey, you could even have went 2 up front with Thomas. I don't understand why he doesn't play Thomas and Debo together, especially when he needs to get goals. And we talked about it before, Steve-O and Vinny, on this podcast. See, when a manager makes changes, when you're on the pitch and you look over and you see the change that's coming in, it gives you a lift, or it kind of gives you an idea of what the manager's thinking. At no stage does Tiernan Lynch, even when he was going well, make a change to be able to say, we're going to get ourselves back into this game, or we're going to go more offensive. It's always really, really strange, his changes. It very rarely makes sense. And maybe I'm missing something. Maybe he's a far smarter man than I am, because I haven't got a manager's hat on. But it just never gives the fans a feeling that, you know what, this is 0-0 down in Sligo. Tiernan's in a bit of a bad run. He's going to put Debo on Josh, even if he does it for 10 or 15 minutes and then changes it again. Just never gives the confidence, because Sligo were struggling. Sligo were struggling defensively. They were struggling for confidence. They made a change at halftime, went 3 at the back, and kind of went more solid. So Russell did it. I just don't understand why Tiernan doesn't do it.
Yeah, and then you had James McLean going on social media to complain about League of Ireland facilities and academies after that draw with Sligo Rovers. I'm not sure if that helps the manager's cause or not, or is he just trying to distract people from the poor performances on the pitch? The manager himself, and he just, as you know, Gareth touches on there, it's very hard to gauge exactly what he's thinking. And I think if I was a Derry City supporter, I'd be almost furious listening to some of the stuff that he's saying, because Like, he describes the clean sheet versus Sligo Rovers in his post-match interview as a major bonus. Like, Sligo Rovers have scored 4 goals in 10 matches. He's also very unclear before the game against Galway United about the injuries to Paddy McLean, James McLean and Michael Duffy. He gave an injury update today. Deepo Akinyemi apparently is a doubt now for the game on Friday night. He still hasn't really given any information on Michael Duffy. Paddy McLean, he said he's going to have wait till later in the week to see how he is. Like, it's all just a bit... I don't know. What do you make of it all?
I mean, we're all hurdlers on the ditch. Like, unless you have to walk in the manager's shoes, you don't know what's going on. To be honest, genuinely, hand on heart, I hope Derry win for his sake this weekend. Do I think he's going to be there long term? I'm not so sure. I think it's really difficult for him. But I'd love to see them. And then give him a few weeks with a couple of positive results. And if he's not good enough in a few weeks, then that's different. I'd just like to see him, something go his way from a human level. I feel for him a little bit. And Gareth will explain this. It's a little bit like Dundalk, Steve-O. When you're in charge with Dublin Club, they're bigger clubs in one sense, but your news is lost in the news of the world, right? I don't know many podcasts. Gareth will tell me there's probably podcasts, there's 2 or 3 local radio stations, there's local newspapers, all looking for a little bit of an angle, for want of a better word. And that's just heaping more pressure on him at the moment, where if he was tucked away somewhere else, it might be as noisy. So I just hope this weekend goes his way, in the next couple of weeks, give him a bit of breathing space and see, has he got what it takes to turn this around. I genuinely hope he does. One thing he won't listen to my advice, or I hope he's not listening to even to the podcast. One of the things he has to start doing is just a little bit more clarity, a little bit more, not as much chopping and changing. Take a heed from the likes of Dundalk and just play your best players in the best position and just play a simple game. There's 4 or 5 changes. There's changes of shape constantly. There's 4 or 5 changes mid-game. Nothing at the moment is working, so just go back to basics. And he might say he's done that a little bit with the 2 clean sheets. I'm sorry, that's not a club like Derry. You've got to go and get goals, and you've got to be a little bit braver. And I just say to him, if he's listening, die on your sword. Like Gareth said, whether that's 2 up front, whether that's out and out wingers, die on your sword. Don't die miserably and not trying things. So hope it turns around for him, but you can just sense there's the weight of the world on his shoulder. And when you're a manager, nobody can appreciate it. We can sit here and say, should do this, should do that. McLean doesn't help in this situation, blah, blah, blah. All of them things are just noise. He's lying in bed at night. He's not sleeping well. He's awake before most every day because of what's going on in his brain. And he's going to bed later than all of us. It is a really difficult situation. Hope he turns around this weekend. Genuinely do. Because we can all be smart arses, all go onto social media. We can all throw cheap one lines. Well, he's living it. And at the moment, he's living a bit of a nightmare as a manager. And unless you've walked in those shoes, you have no idea how difficult it is for him. So I hope it turns around.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I think that's it's a very good point and well made, Vinny, just about the personal side of it for Tiernan Lynch. And look, I do feel for supporters as well, because, you know, as a paying supporter, when you're going in every week and you're parting with your hard-earned cash to go and look at your team, and you're seeing what Derry City are serving up over the last number of weeks, it's very frustrating for them as well. So I can certainly see both sides of it. So it is going to be a fascinating tussle.
Also, by the way, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm just
to be clear.
Yeah, I'm just
Derry fans are right to be annoyed.
Yeah,
100%. Yeah. They should be up in the top 3 or 4. 100%. Yeah. You've got the players and the strength and depth to do that.
Yeah, of course. Just to add that bit of balance. So look, that should be a great tussle between those two. They're the kind of 2 main games this week. I think our reporter Ben Symes will be going up to the Dundalk Derry City match. From one struggling manager to another, I just wonder, have Waterford turned a corner for John Daly based on their last couple of results? They got two very impressive draws against the second and third teams in the division, Bohemians and Shamrock Rovers, over the Easter weekend. Gareth, was there signs for you there that they have turned a corner?
Yeah, well, I mean, I thought they were good. I mean, Arlo Doherty, we're talking about keeper at the start of the show there. He was excellent. Obviously, he was Derry. He was reserved at Derry. Didn't really see him much. He was excellent in that game recently. John Mahon, we talked about him being out with a long-term injury. Thank God he's okay. Obviously, he comes up with a goal as well. And then Kevin Long on beside him as well. I always look at, and I love watching John Daly's teams playing because they're so free. It's almost like John Russell a little bit. The front players are allowed to be as free as they want, basically. It's very difficult to see where they're starting, where they finish. So as defenders, it must be very difficult to try and plan to how you're going to defend against them, because they've always got runners, they've always got creative players, they've always got players that are comfortable on the ball. So it was sorting out the defence was always the problem. So Kevin Long will do that. And John Mahon, playing as well as he's played this year, not the John Mahon of last year at Sligo, wasn't fit enough. There was obviously something going on, but he looks really good this year. So with those two in front of Arlo Doherty playing well, then they've got a chance, because see at the top end of the pitch, they've got ample players, creative players and goal scorers to be able to score goals. I know you talked about Steve-O about the right back. They look to have kind of settled on that a little bit now as well. So I don't think it's as doom and gloom as a lot of people are thinking with Waterford right now.
Yeah, Alan Zaborowski came into play as a right wing back there in that back five. And Kevin Long came off the bench as well. Vinny, player, of course, very impressive signing for Waterford. He's 35 years of age now. He's been capped by the Republic of Ireland most recently at Toronto, but of course did have a very impressive career playing for Burnley, played for Burnley in the Premier League, also with Birmingham, Barnsley, MK Dons. So is he the kind of player that could come in and just give them that defensive solidity, that experience that Waterford needs to try and get themselves up the table?
Yeah, I think so. And I think Gareth touched on it. We were there the first game of the season. You remember, Steve Owen? John looked like, particularly the second half, Shells were standing for 45 minutes. Don't get me wrong, second half, he was really, really strong. It's funny, the pitches, you know the way some pitches, Gareth, deceive you. You think Richmond Park is a small pitch, Talcott, a small pitch. You think the RSE is a small pitch, and they are in the grand scheme of things, but the certain pitches, I preferred them pitches because I was slow and sluggish, so I had. But so that pitch down the Waterford, you feel like will help John Mann, you know, for that battle, that little bit of strength and depth, and him along together, it's the makings a great partnership. And if they need to have a third one in there with them, but when you look at their bench, Hayden Khan, Carty, Luke Heaney, League of Ireland experience, and that's huge in terms of what they have. And they've a nucleus of a good side there. John has to find his best team and his best way of playing. They might just surprise a few people over the next couple of weeks. The ship might be just about to turn. They may suffer the odd bad defeat here and there, but I think there's enough about them to put somebody under pressure. And even if they just got to second last and had to go into a playoff. I think they have more about them at the moment, it feels like, they must Sligo do, because of a couple of those signings, and particularly defensively. Long, Mann, and the goalkeeper, as Gareth has touched on, they look like they're okay, and they may just about have enough about them not to finish bottom.
Do you know what stood out for me, though? I was at the game on Monday, and it stood out. I've noticed in a couple of games, it just seems like Padraig Amond isn't getting the service that he needs. I don't see Amond getting a huge amount of chance in games. And we've seen him over the last couple of seasons. One of the things that Amond is so good, he's still got pace. He can get in behind defences. And he just doesn't seem to be getting those kind of opportunities that he would have had over the last couple of years. I don't know if that's something that is proving to be an issue for them, and if it's something that John Daly can sort out. He was a centre forward himself. I'm sure he sees these things.
Yeah, I mean, and it's kind of like the confidence in the team. I mean, Daly's probably turning around going, you know what, that's my least problem right now. I need to stop leaking goals and I need to get a bit of solid defence and team shape and all that. He knows that Amund, when he gets the chances, he will score goals. And I think that's what's going to separate Sligo and Waterford. I think Sligo are going to struggle to score goals. I've watched them a couple of times now. They're missing that Amund, Cardy. You've got Noonan, someone like that, that will get goals. So I don't think, I wouldn't be too worried about Amund, because you know whenever whether it's good pitches, whether they play with a bit more confidence, whether they go then from the five at the back to the four, when they go that 4-2-2-2, which he likes playing, I think he will get the chances and he will get the goals, because listen, top goal scorer last 2 years, he's phenomenal. I wouldn't worry too much about Podge Amund.
Yeah, absolutely. They play, their next three matches actually are probably the kind of fixtures that John Daly would want to have if he is trying to turn this corner. It's Drogheda United at home this Friday night before they go to Sligo Rovers and then host Galway United. Drogheda, Vinny, you're up there on Friday. You know, eight matches now without a win. I'm just wondering, is it a spell they're going to come out of eventually? You know, Garrett spoke with us last week about just the noise that was going on off the pitch, and that was definitely hampering Drogheda United's performances. It seems the last 7 days that kind of stuff has seemed to have faded away a little bit, and that might help them. I'm looking at the goals they've conceded, though. 14 goals conceded in that run. 10 in that run. Had my stats there, I've lost them. But it's looking in and around two per game, whatever. Like, that's not Drogheda United. Is that at the back is the issue? Or I'm wondering, is it actually midfield, Vinny? Is that where the problem is for Drogheda United?
I like the midfield. Now, they weren't brilliant against Bowes, but I do like what they've midfield. Gordon looks at, you know, big, strong, physical player. Eaton O'Brien, again, another one looks like a good player. And I think Brandon Kavanagh has been really good. He gives them that little bit of something like Markey done. And actually, at times, he can be better than Markey in terms of good play. And keeping Brandon Kavanagh sort of being the one that creates stuff for them, I think, is huge. So there's a lot to like from. I mean, you go back to the ball. Mark Doyle had a big moment in that game to give them the lead. And you just imagine, there's just a couple of things not going Kevin's way at the moment, or Drogheda's way at the moment. Doyle should have scored. Now, Bottas had to as well, don't get me wrong. But that's the fourth goal in games. And they've had a few opportunities like that. They got the first two against Galway. And then John Caulfield does a job on them, you know, changes his shape. And one thing Kevin has said after the game, I don't know whether any of you heard it, but he spoke about three bullied. And that's not something you'd associate with any drop of the team. But they're probably, I felt the sort of overachieved last year. And I'm not that popular in Drogheda, so don't mind saying it, but I just felt they overachieved a little bit. And this year, I think they're somewhere between 7th and 5th. And if they can break the ceiling and qualify for Europe, we'd all be delighted for what's gone on there last couple of years. But if Stephen Walsh is coming on at halftime and you're 2-0 up and he's bullying your three centre-halves and he's part of them turning the game around, then you've got problems. So Kevin will have to address them, because they're built on sheer physicality, set pieces, every set piece, long throws, all of that stuff. But they have got a little bit of quality as well, which sometimes people like me forget to mention. That's why I touched on Kavanagh. But huge loss for them as well. But they need to just get back to the basics. They need just a win off the back arse of somebody and just take one from there and build from there. But would it shock you if they finished 7th this season? Not really, you know, but it wouldn't surprise me to finish 4th either. So it just has to turn for them quickly.
Yeah. We'll move on to the last two games because we're short enough on time. Galway playing against Shelburne at Eamon DC Park on Friday night. It's going so well for Galway United at the moment. As I mentioned, Gareth, in the table, they are currently sitting in 5th position on 14 points, just 5 off the top three. One interesting thing, though, I think, when you look at that table, is that they've scored 13, conceded 14. That just doesn't seem right for a John Caulfield team. Like, they've won three matches in their last four, but in that run of four games, they conceded eight. That's a lot of goals to be conceding. Like, how does Caulfield address that leaky defence?
Yeah, well, I'll put it this way. I would be more confident in Caulfield fixing a leaky defence than I would be trying to get goals. And it's funny, when you think about Galway and Drogheda, two of the most organised, disciplined, well-structured teams in the league, and they're leaking a load of goals, which is very, very unlikely. The positive side, how does he fix it? I think it's not just, we always tend to look at the goalkeeper and the defenders when you're talking about a leaky defence. I think it's an overall unit, and Dundalk are a great example of that, where it's a team working together, whether it's moving right on the pitch, left, up, down, whatever it may be. So that has to get right, and he's got to get that right as well. But Galway, I mean, the amount of goals that they're scored, I mean, Hurley's was an absolute wonder goal on Friday night, last Friday night. Mm. He's got loads of players at the top end of the pitch playing with such confidence. He just needs to instill that now in the defenders. And he almost needs to get them to concentrate on their defensive duties rather than the going forward. Because it seems like no matter who he brings on, Lombardo came on and got two the other night, or who he plays up front, that they're getting goals, because he's changing it about a little bit. So that seems to be fine. Fixing the defence is just proving a little bit more difficult. But listen, no better man than John Caulfield to come up with a solution.
Yeah, 100%. And Chris Twardick coming up with another goal and an assist in their win on Monday. He's up to 5 goals in 10 matches now. And I have to say, I would have seen Chris Twardick obviously quite a lot a few seasons ago when he was with Bohemians. Well, he got 1 goal in 48 matches for Bows in the league. So his finishing is something he's obviously worked on over the last couple of seasons. 5 goals is an incredible return for him in those 10 matches. So, yeah, he certainly is bringing a huge amount to the Galway United cause. The cause of Shelburne, Vinny, this isn't an ideal trip for Joey O'Brien after back-to-back defeats on the Easter weekend, going away to Galway United. Like, how damaging will those defeats be for their confidence? And on the other side of it, their away form has been really good this season. So I'm not too sure how you look at Shells. Actually, just looking at their away form, 10 points from 5 matches away from home. They're the second best away team so far this season.
Yeah, somebody sat down to pitch being short or something. I don't believe that. I don't know where I heard that. But look, they've obviously got issues. They started the game against Rovers with effectively no centre forward, which isn't a bad thing tactically to try against Shamrock Rovers, to be honest with you, but they don't have someone put the ball in the back of the net at home on a regular basis. John's been in and out. He does score goals, but he's sort of streaky. Daniel Kelly has been chipping in and doing quite well, but there's no doubt the injuries there to Barrett and Casey is hurting them. Every team injuries, but for whatever reason, the two of them, and particularly the two in such pivotal position, Rossi had a horrendous mistake, but it's done okay at different stages. So just there's a little bit of Joey's gone through that sort of little bit of Arnold Slot, isn't he? Where, you know, the whole season qualifying for Europe, the knock-on effect of last season has to be taking its toll on this team. And Shell's just propped to ride out this season, hope by hook or by crook, they either win an FAO Cup or finish fourth and just rebuild again and trust that Joey's the right man to do that. It's going to be a difficult season for them the longer the injuries persist. I've always said that I feel like Shells will be at their best when the pitches are really good, when they're top of the game. Henry Francis, McEnroy, Coote, Jarvis, Wood, all those skilled technical footballers. But the heavy grounds, the sort of heavy pitches don't really suit them at the moment. So you just got to hang in there till the sun starts shining. Few players back and he can rebuild from there. So feels like going to be a difficult season for Joey. He learned a lot from that, but there's no doubt he's the man in terms of getting them back on, getting that ship turned for whenever that is. And as I said, by hook or by crook, get into fourth and qualify for Europe, and that has to be their goal.
So you're saying no title challenge from Shells in this season?
It's going to be a struggle, Steve-O. Mm. I think whatever about catching one team, or a runaway team like Bowles or a Pats, but trying to catch three teams at the moment. Mm. I'm not sure the confidence over the last, like the lead could be gone from the next 4 to 6 without Barrett and Casey. We don't know how long they're going to be out. And the longer this run goes on, the more it's highly unlikely they're going to go into the title race.
Okay.
I think they will, Steve. I think they're going to come good the more of the season. I think there are a lot of new players in there. And don't get me wrong, obviously Casey's a massive investment. He's injured and Barrett's a mess. I think JJ Lunny and Coyle obviously were a big part of them doing well for the last 2 or 3 seasons. And I think they've just lost a wee bit of steeliness or a wee bit of defensive-minded players in the middle of the park. They're going very gung-ho when it comes to playing that middle of the park. We Henry Francis, who's doing the business going that way. So it'll be interesting to see how far them boys are away. But I think they will come better as the season goes on. I think they will get better. And if they do, they're only 7 points behind. If they do hit 4-3-4 match wins in a row, like they will pick up points from the rest just because of how, and we talked about it at the top of the show, just how inconsistent other teams have been, including the likes of Rovers.
Okay, we wrap up with Bohs Sligo Rovers, and the funny thing about this, like, I remember Bohemians hosting Sligo Rovers June of last year, and it was a very patched up Sligo Rovers defence, and the Bitter Red went home with a point. It was a 1-1 draw. Just on Bohs, Vinny, like, I was at their game on Monday against Waterford. Obviously, you would have seen them against Drogheda as well. You saw them against Drogheda. I just feel with Bohemians now, they're a very easy team to defend against. Would you agree?
Yes, there is not enough. I like, maybe you can tell me, like, the Ross Tierney one. And it feels like I'm on Ross Tierney's back a little bit in terms of some of my commentary around him, because of the kid, like, I think he's brilliant. But for example, up in Drogheda, he played left, and I understand where the narrow off the left. I understand the mindset of having an animal the way there, and Devoy and Flores started in midfield, didn't he? That sort of solidness. I understand that from the management, but you're taking one of your biggest attacking threats, and you're sort of shoehorning him in off the left, or he's been off the right at different stages. I'd love to see play a 10, and his job has to be to run beyond the opposition back four. And Gareth will know what I mean by this in terms of, as a player, when somebody does that, it's almost like he's punching holes for the other players to play in front of the back four. Do you know what I mean? Like, just... He is that good running the box at the right times, the right moment. But when you play narrow off a wing, I'm not sure you're getting the best out of him. And I'd like to see, I think he could be the catalyst of them getting more goals and more sort of, not necessarily that he scores them, but he just creates. Colin Whelan would love nothing more, him going beyond them 3-4 times every half and create that little pocket of space for Whelan to get a shot off.
That's how he played with Georgie Kelly, Vinny, back in 2021. It was, you know, the little man, big man, almost like a 4-4-2.
You still haven't thanked me for lending Georgie Kelly to you that season.
But, like, he got 7 goals that season and God knows how many assists. I don't have the numbers to hand. But I always think, like, he is the type of player to play off a big centre-forward, like a Colin Whelan or maybe a Douglas James Taylor, and picking up on second balls, or, as you say, getting on beyond the striker. And he was out of position, and I think he said last season himself he didn't have a good season. He had a point to prove coming out this season, and yeah, I just wonder if the coaching staff see that he has to be playing that kind of central role. And I just wonder, just in a general sense, Gareth, with the Bohemians attack, like, if you look at the team that started against Waterford, they had Zane Myers, Harry Vaughan, Connor Parsons playing that attacking trio behind the striker. Like, it just seems like there's too many small attacking players. Like, you go back to Galway United and Chris Twardek, like, he's a big lad, big physical attacker coming down the wing. You know, Shamrock Rovers, you know, they've got big players supporting the main attacker. Like, I just wonder, is that Bohemians attacking trio behind the striker, are they too small? Do they need a bit more physicality there?
Well, I would imagine Alan Reynolds thought, you know what, against Waterford, we're going to get loads of the ball, so I need wee tricky players in behind Whelan to try and thread passes or to get in behind. And I think the biggest problem when you put Whelan up there alone is you need someone coming from the middle, or you need wingers that are going to play inside the fullbacks and not just outside, because it gets very lonely for someone like Whelan. So that's what you're saying about Georgie had Tierney running in and running past him and creating space so he could either get it on the chest, turn and shoot, or taking defenders away so he could get on the end of crosses. I thought Parsons was good in this game from what I've seen. I thought he was really lively. And then, of course, when you've got Devoy not playing in the six, he won the penalty, so he was further up the pitch. I think that would help them a lot if Devoy got further up the pitch. But I agree that maybe the profile of players, you need to just... What about throwing Hickey up there for a period of time?
He's yeah, they, up there. They did that for the last kind of 10-15 minutes on Monday night, and it did look like it was you know, you've certainly bang on anyway with the analysis cards, but like it certainly did cause Waterford problems.
Sorry, Steve, the other thing that happened in the draw again, the light didn't last for long enough. If you remember, he brought Diallo on and put Jordan back at left back, and what you up with is for a very short period of time, you ended up like it was a slight change tactically. It was one number six and it was 2 8s, we're going to call them, okay? And it was Devoy and in the middle, Parsons came on one wing, and then all of a sudden they looked such a better team playing that way for those couple of minutes, because like there was nothing in the game, but they were a much better team then for them couple of minutes. I think that's something they have to look at.
Yeah, Diallo certainly looks the part when he's coming on. He's just one of those really good quality midfielders that keeps the ball moving. Sligo Rovers then, look, they're going to be without James McManus. Obviously, he can't play against his parent club. I think that's a bit of a blow for them, Gareth. They've got a few injuries there as well coming into this match. Not ideal. I think the pitch will suit them, though. They like playing on the Daly Mount surface. And as well, you look at their recent record, like they've only been beaten 1-0 in a couple of their recent games. They drew with Derry, obviously 0-0 on Monday. Like, it's is there some signs of progression there for John Russell as we get into the nicer weather, and hopefully with the pitch at the Showgrounds improving then coming into the better months?
Yeah, 100%. When your pitch is not nice, especially at home, and you go away to a nice pitch or a nice Dundalk brand new pitch that's hybrid, you're buzzing as a player. Even in the warm-up, you can see and players zipping the ball and they want another, no bobbles. So they will be looking forward to it. And there's no doubt about it. Mikkelsen, Drury, Patton, Nolan, these players like a nice surface. They want the ball on the ground. I mean, Monday night against Derry, it was just in the air. I would say I'd love to see the data on how many times the players headed the ball. It was just in the air. It felt like it was in the air for at least 45 minutes of the whole game. So nobody enjoyed it. McManus will be a huge miss. Quirk was good. He pulled his hamstring. So you're going to use both your centre midfielders for this match now on Friday night. Quirk has been arguably their best player. He's been really good. Yeah. Big, strong, physical. He's almost doing the role that I thought McHugh would do when he signed. Now, whether McHugh comes on now, or sorry, plays now on Friday night, is another one. So you probably have Jackie and McHugh in the centre midfield position. But that's a lot of movement from a central area to go and play it away to Bowes. So they're going to be up against it. I mean, Gareth McElroy came on it again, hit the post, so he'll be playing with a wee bit of confidence. By the way, as well, Will Fitzgerald, I know there was talk of him going at the beginning of the season in the window. He was outstanding on Monday night again. Every time I see that man play, he's not even 7 out of 10. He's 9 out of 10. And the conditions mentally did not affect him. He was the only player on the pitch that did not get affected by the position, the conditions. He just got on it, did the simple things, and played his game. He was outstanding. So, listen, Sligo are a wee bit better, but I still think they're going to have that problem. They're not going to score enough goals. Cian Cavan and Drury, they're in and out. I don't know who's going to get them even 7 or 8 goals a season to be able to shoot them out of the bottom two. That's going to be the biggest problem for me.
Lads, brilliant stuff as ever. I brought my little 3.5-year-old to his first ever League of Ireland match on Monday night. I have to say, the 5 o'clock kickoff really is a good. It's a good time, I think. And I was talking to somebody in the office here. They were kind of saying, look, maybe for younger fans, it's something maybe the league need to look at during the summertime. maybe on a Saturday, maybe throw a game on a 5 o'clock or something like that. Just it's definitely something the league maybe consider.
Who was your young lad supporting, Stable?
Can't tell you, Vinny. I'm a neutral journalist. I've got to maintain my journalistic integrity. I cannot reveal who I brought him to cheer at the end. And but all he was saying, come on, whoever the club he was supporting, these are shite. No, I won't say that. he wasn't all. He's only 3 and a half. He wouldn't be talking like that. But one thing I will say, he enjoyed the sausage and chips anyway. And he didn't get bored before the match finished. So it was a good day.
Did he sing along to Johnny Logan? What's another year?
I'll tell you what, Finny. If Shamrock Rovers win the league by 10 points, don't win the league by 10 points, I should say. You've said today that they're going to win the league by 10 points. If they don't win it by 10 points, you are going to sing Johnny Logan, Hold Me Now, at the end
What's
of the season.
What's another year for the Balls fans? What's another year?
They do Hold Me Now. But listen, we'll make you sing What's Another Year. You can do
What's Another Year. So another year without...
This is your forfeit, Vinny. If the end of the season, if Rovers don't win by 10 points, the league, you are going to sing Johnny Logan, What's Another Year, on the podcast. So I'm going to hold you to that one, right? I've just come up with that forfeit now. You're going to... Right, lads, listen. Enjoy whichever match you're going to. I'm sure you're going to be down at Dundalk, will you, Gareth?
Yeah, yep, I'll be there.
You
will.
What about you, Vinny? Where are you heading?
I'm working at Pats and Rovers. So I'm in the posh side of the gantry.
Okay.
So I'll be right with you on Richie Tell.
Well, listen, bring some Easter
egg. Richie Tell owes me.
Bring some Easter egg,
Richie Tell owes me. Yeah. Richie owes me a few cups of coffee. I changed that fella's life, I did, 10 years ago. So.
Great, folks. Listen, do throw us in some emails. Ask the experts at the yellow-eyed pod. What was the. Yeah. I'm just waiting for my producer to give me. It's the LOI pod. The LOI pod. What is it again? At Off the Ball. The LOI pod at offtheball.com. That's the address. Oh my God, I've lost my marbles here. That's it for Ask the Experts. Do send us some emails for us next week and we'll put some questions to the lads. It's been great having you listen to us and we will be back with you next week. Don't forget the match, 7 o'clock on Off the Ball Friday and LOI Late Night at 10 o'clock on X. And we'll have the League of Ireland wrap up for you on Saturday morning on all your podcast feeds. We'll talk to you next week.
Cheers, man.
The LOI Pod on Off the Ball. Catch live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off the Ball all season.